Hello, dear heart. Welcome to the Flourishing Practitioners podcast, where we talk all things about space holding, caring for our clients, and succeeding in our businesses. We explore the wisdom from coaches, counselors, and healers. My name's Gabrielle Walker, and I'm so honored that you're here. Let's dive in.
Staycation, and it's really exciting because I have a bunch of editing I want to do for the podcast and for whānau resources for 2025. My goal was to strengthen the behind the scenes, and that meant nourishing myself more. That meant and the resources that we've developed over time to be edited. I have so much stuff that is ready to be shared with our community. This stuff all takes time. This year, that's going to be my focus. It's taken a while for me to truly grasp what I'm actually up to. So this podcast with Sam is actually a new discussion that I haven't really had with anyone. And honestly, it makes this weaving, this creation, the sharing of our net of wairua from our waka and honour. I so deeply appreciate the questions she asked and the consideration, the reflection, the fact that Sam was part of the first intake. As I was editing, I couldn't help but remember so many other people who had provided their support along the way. Honestly, it makes this weaving, this creation, the sharing of our net of wairua from our waka and honour. This is honouring the beginning, honouring some of the real key and pivotal moments of insight for me that has allowed me to step into sharing more widely, and this podcast was such a pleasure. So I hope you enjoy it. Honouring this phase of my mahi where I'm thinking a little bit different in terms of the big picture and keeping this mahi sustainable. Here's some insight into that.
Welcome back to the Flourishing Healing Podcast. I am Samantha Coffrey from Embody with Sam, and I am speaking with Rangi Hoia today, Gabrielle, who is usually the one doing the interviewing. We are going to be talking about running wānanga, rumirumi and mirimiri. As someone who's attended your wānanga for the past 6 years, it's been such a beautiful space to land in with learning, healing, and my own healing. I first received Māori healing from you 6 years ago, and that's what led me into this mahi and led me into learning. It's been transformational and life-changing, and I would absolutely love to ask you questions. I have found these wānanga super pivotal in so many different ways, and moving more into a space where I'm more your po and being able to afi in the wānanga space more, moving into that space, I've realize actually how much mahi you do behind the scenes, how much aroha that goes into these wānanga in different ways, and how you hold the space, how you create the space, and all the different ways that you honour the mahi, honour the people, honour the whenua, all the things. Since moving more into the space of support and co-facilitating, I have really realised in another deeper layer, in a deeper level, like, well, it can be a lot, and I'm always so in awe and inspired and challenged by moving into this space. And it's really made me and this mahi. What actually got you into wanting to run wānanga? And if there's anything else there that you want to speak on?
When I started running wānanga, I didn't feel ready. In my mind, where I was at as a practitioner was another 2 years away. I was like, oh, after that time, maybe. But the number of people who were asking to learn was increasing. But I don't think that was what tipped me over to doing it. What actually happened is one of the beautiful wahine, Charlie, she actually supported me financially in the wānanga. And in receiving that, I gave myself the time to imagine what an ideal wānanga would be for me. And it was built around what I'd witnessed that I liked and what I had witnessed that hadn't worked for me so much. the things I wish I'd known. That's sort of where I started. And I think because I entered the space of the wānanga of being gifted with that time, but also being gifted with being able to imagine, like just having a curious energy, it had a really different vibe than some of the things I had tried to create earlier. For example, I only launched Ako Oha Oha, which is the business part of Ako Toro Whanui, last year. I had actually tried to launch that in 2015. It was from a different place because I needed money. The energetics weren't foundationed in a secure space of not needing anything from it. That gift that Charlie gave me was so pivotal in being able to imagine wānanga. Also, at that time, prior to doing this mahi, I did strategic planning workshops. So, and I was doing my thesis in strategic planning. So I had a lot of experience facilitating and emceeing in a corporate space. And I had done tutoring at uni. So I had all these experiences that came together to support holding wairua mahi with practical facilitation skills as well. I'd always been the sort of person who, if an opportunity was given to me, I would dive in. I'm not so much that person now. I realised that I got a little bit tired of always leaping and then figuring out how it was done, which at that time was more my style or my energy, leap and then figure out the pieces later. That first one, which you were a part of, and stepping into it, I honestly was so scared. I was so terrified, and in the process of leaping, a number of really beautiful things happen. So as well as that nourishing financial support from Charlie, it was around the time that I reconnected with Matua, and he blessed us and came and did a lot of karakia and holding space in that time, which was really cool. He really saw me and what I was doing and supported our whānau and supported our waka. That gave me a bit of mana, you know, to be like, okay, I can do this. I think my little girl self needed this Māori man to come into my life. There's some other wahine who really offered support, called me up and was like, I want to come and po. In hindsight, it was so hard for me to accept that help. But she came and she was the po. So she was holding babies. She was getting kai ready. My mum pretty much did all the kai, all the food. There was just all the support. So that's how I got into it. Also to bow down and honour the Aloha Ohana. So the Kahuna and Rumirumi group in Borloo, Perth. Luciano in particular was a po for my first wānangas and would come for the Aroha days, which are the days where we get to practice on whai ora or clients. And his presence was so deeply appreciated. I didn't have those supports that I have now through alumni or people who have completed their training where they can come and help. And so the beautiful thing that happened from weaving with the Aloha Ohana is that we have developed a miri miri, rumi rumi, lumi lumi mix, and we often collaborate. So we have practitioner days and the Aroha days where both groups are invited. So if you come to an Aroha day, it'll be just as likely that you would be able to get a kahuna or a lumi lumi as a miri miri and rumi rumi, because it's so intertwined in a way. So I really wanted to honour Luciano. There's also been two people, Jacqueline and Sophia, who were really key in teaching me how to trust the supports and to know that many of the things like kai and food, that was just really possible for them to handle and I didn't even need to worry about it. It can be a bit destabilizing to be thinking logistically and wairua wise at the same time. So their supports were so pivotal. Sometimes there is a process of learning what I need when I travel, or me learning what supports I need to show up. And so I'm so grateful for these people for being key in those aspects. It was that support which felt spiritually guided, because I couldn't plan for that support. Honestly, it makes this weaving, this creation, the sharing of our net of wairua from our waka
an honour.
It makes me want to cry, actually, but like I wouldn't have been able to do any of what I've done or created anything of Akutura Whanui if it wasn't for people's kind-heartedness and community spirit and seeing the bigger picture, offering their hearts to the intake. So there's lots of people who are still weaving with Akutura Whanui from the beginning, but there's also those who have dipped in and out, and I value all of it. I see all of it. I honour all of it. I don't know, that went off on a tangent, but that's what's present. How I got into it is literally being provided with that opportunity. It started everything.
Love. I was a part of that first ever intake, and it's been incredible. A lot of us that were in that first intake, some of us were already practitioners in different modalities, but I would say over half of us are still practicing today. How do you feel as a kaiako, kaiarahi in this mahi, being able to empower your students to step into their own mana, to their own practices? How do you feel seeing us all in our own practices?
I love it. I've definitely had, I just want to start with, I've definitely had moments along the journey where I've had to like really interrogate my ego, because sometimes there was this like lack mentality that would come up about, oh, they're taking my mahi away from me. I'm like, there'll be too many practitioners. Or people would say that to me and I would start to question myself. I mostly feel so proud, using you for example, but it's not just you, knowing that you can provide for your family. That makes me so emotional. But it's like, it's not just you. It's so many. We, and I'm including myself, we don't fit in corporate work, and we don't really fit in anything other than what we could create for ourselves. So to know that it's happened is huge. And Wonderkind actually had its 10-year birthday. So I don't even know how many years since I've been doing wānanga, but 10 years since I've been coaching and doing sessions. And to get messages from people who I saw years ago about how the work's impacted their life and changed their life. And I didn't even know. I don't always know the outcome or where people go with it, because not everyone's keeping in touch every second. But to know the changes that have happened and the impact it's had on others, and then to see the ripples you're having in Aotearoa, that makes me emotional too. To know that creating something and doing my best and trying to be really authentic and trying to clear my mamai and my hara and my pieces of me that need healing, but also to take the space of teaching when it's relevant. I feel proud of everyone, like all of us, and I really mean that. I feel proud of me for giving the space. I feel proud of us for owning the space, that we're all in it. It wouldn't be possible without others, but it also wouldn't be possible if I didn't step into that. So I'm just proud. I feel really emotional in this conversation. I don't think I've really ever talked about this. It's cool to see everyone.
You got me in my feels. When I started 6 years ago, I was going through a really tough time. My kuro had passed away, and he was my biggest connection to spirituality. And yeah, that was really big for me. And I spent most of the opening crying, most of the wānanga crying. And it's really interesting because I didn't know it at the time, but you know, going back to the conversation about having matua there and all of your different supports, meeting some of the other sisters, some of the things that you're experiencing when you come to wānanga is not what you think that you're going to be experiencing. What actually led me to Māori healing and to you in the first place, my daughter was born and she was a miracle to be alive. And during that time, one of your whai ora, Jamie, had told me about you and told me about the work that you do. And we were both on a similar path of really connecting with our spirituality and different things. She had come and seen you and been like, I think you would really like love this practice. I was extremely pregnant, hapu, at the time. And then my daughter was born and I was going through trying to hope my daughter would survive, I guess. And that was when I really needed to believe in something. And connecting with Jamie at that time while she was immersing amongst this mahi really helped and supported me to see things from a higher perspective. So then fast forward, my daughter survived that experience and was going through something with my koro passing. He was going to be passing. So when I returned back from Aotearoa, I had my first session with you and Jamie at Aroha Day, the first ever Koha Day, actually. Came to the Koha Day, experienced my first session, then not long later ended up immersing in your first Akotoro Whanui intake of Māori healing training. And that whole experience for me is quite pivotal in my life. What I thought I was going for was, you know, to learn, but really I was going for my own healing. And all the things that came in, like Tua and his karakia, was like healing me on different levels of not feeling Māori enough, going through grief, my own personal stuff. Like it was just an array of different things. When you started being invited to run these wānanga, did you realise the impact that it was going to have in terms of all of those things? Did you already know that all of these things intertwine into that, or was it just, it was a deep knowing or a deep calling, a karanga to offer?
I definitely didn't. I was actually saying yesterday to someone that the first wānanga, I feel like I shoved every little piece of knowledge that I thought you should have down your throat. It was quite overwhelming because I hadn't yet learned about pacing or where people are actually at the journey. You know, I was trying to teach you about business with you hadn't even decided if you were going to be a healer. You know, it was like, here's everything. I didn't yet know the cadence of a journey, which I think I've learned over time. Also, I knew I love this work, but I don't think I knew more. It's like that wānanga and all the different people involved in our sis Jana, I love it to pieces. She was so direct with what she liked and didn't like that it was really good for me. I was like, that's working, that's not. I work really well with feedback. I like conversation and process, being able to go back and forth with what's resonating with people and what's not. So I feel as if Tauira or those who are training teach me so much about what they need, and then I create that. I don't know if it makes sense, but I have resources, but I don't always know what people need because our journeys are different. I started from a different place. The journey of identity, I didn't grasp how pivotal that would be for people stepping into a wānanga space. I was thinking of more like learning a modality, like you're going to learn Reiki or you go and learn remedial massage, sort of like more of a learning. I was thinking of wānanga more that way. And then very quickly became apparent when everyone was in tears in the opening, that's not what we were here to do. So that thinking had to change really quickly. I also had to step out of the teacher role and trusting that I'm not teaching, Waira was teaching. But that was a journey and learned from Tauira, students, people, challenges, feedback, directions, and figuring out what feedback's relevant, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Working out how to make it more simple and let the space be the teacher sometimes too, not the knowledge and here's everything that I've ever been taught. I'm curious then of your journey of going through it, because you literally have been there. We actually became friends quite soon after that, quite good friends. I remember sharing some stuff where I was like, oh, I've never shared this with anyone. And for some reason, I felt really open to be able to do that with you. So you know some of my inner workings, but how did you experience your own journey and weaving with the wānanga? What's sitting with you with that?
Well, so much is sitting with me now because this whole weekend of coming over here and being in wānanga with you again, and it's really had me reflecting on my journey because, as you described before, being able to now pursue my passions and my purpose and my mahi and provide for my family. This is me and my partner are both fully immersed in business, and like the possibility was not a thing. It was a dream when we went back to Aotearoa. We just had a thought of, wouldn't it be cool to do this? That there was no real big plan. So coming back here was like, this is where it all began for me. And this is where the more aligned version of me began, that 6 years. I've always been a deep person and I've always strived to be more myself. But I think coming into this mahi really showed me my people as well. So like, as you say, we became like close super quickly. It's also because I think most people want to be seen and heard and felt from the right in the right spaces, I guess, and or communities. And that was like a real coming home for me. That's why I think I was so emotional in that first wananga, because I was like, oh, this feels like home. And then I thought it was a yearning for New Zealand, but it was more like a yearning for myself. It's taken me to so many places, like I'm pinging so much inside right now because I'm thinking like, oh yeah, I've had all these experiences. Being part of that first intake, it was super scary because I knew I was going to open up and be seen and all the pieces of me were, but it's also what I wanted. And so like as the receiver and you being our kaiako, it's interesting hearing how you felt then, because to me you were just, you know, strong and assertive and all these things. And I remember being like, oh, I can't do this work when I first came in, because it was like, oh, I'm too emotional. I wasn't able to be whakanoa straight away. The neutrality of seeing other people having the experience made me emotional. But what it really does is it reflects to you where you're at that moment, which is always going to change. Obviously, when you're emotional in the beginning, that's the state that you're in. So seeing our tauira coming in the weekend, it was a reflection to me of where I had started to, and being able to see them and be like, oh, well, there's not a place that you arrive. You don't arrive and you get there and I've got this. Like, that wasn't what I was feeling. It was more like I remember the space that I was in and I'm still forever growing. Like, I used to think when I arrived, like, one day I'll be able to do sessions and I will arrive and I will be a great practitioner. But it's not really like that. It just evolves and changes and you grow and you learn, and the more you practice and the more you take that 10%, 20%, like you say, when we're starting out. One of my biggest fears was my pepeha, like being a Māori. Not that you have to be a Māori to learn this practice, but I remember being like, I don't know how to say my pepeha by heart, like I need a book. And I've been on a whakapapa journey for so long that it scared me so much. And having the permission from you, come as you are, and that's something that I hold dear to me in my practice today, that I use in my practices, come as you are, be who you are, there's no expectation, push yourself that 20% more if you feel like you can. You're not going to hide behind, oh, well, we don't have to do that. It's more like an encouragement and an empowerment way, and it's also like a we're not going to make you small way. And there's no judgment here. That's why I'm still here. Like, that is the main reason, I think, why I'm still here and why I've been on your waka, because there's two parts. One, you empower us to step forward, to step up, and to be our most authentic selves. And you want to see us flourish and grow. It's hard to find that out in the world where I go. I love that you speak to those tiny grains sometimes where you're like, you check your ego and stuff, because you are creating leaders or you are creating people who you want to empower. But that's a huge reason why I'm here. And then that other side where it's an allowing of who you are, and you don't have to be anything other than you are, but as long as you just work on being yourself and the rest will grow. So, I mean, that's the best way for me to box this past 6 years, because I started off as someone who came in and just was willing and open to heal for as long as I needed to. And healing looks so different. Like, it's not necessarily this big, deep, dark hole that you're in and all these traumas and all this stuff. Like, yes, but there's also the activation, which I think was a huge one for me, actually activating pieces of my love, my joy, my desires, all of these things, my worthiness. That's what it felt like in my first session. Like, I remember laughing at the end, like hysterically laughing, not in a jokingly way, but in a like, oh my gosh, it was like my joy got activated. My heart got deepened. I just couldn't even almost maintain the joy. Like, what is this? And initially I thought, oh, you've given me your joy. Because that's the, I can't think of the word right now, but that's the thing, isn't it? Like, the healers come and they heal you and they give you joy. That's the thing, isn't it? But then I quickly learned, oh, that's me. You're empowering, you're guiding me to be more aligned within myself, that I am capable of my own healing if it's guided in the right way. And that was pivotal for me. I was like, well, what is this? Because I'd been seeking outside of myself. And and sometimes in the wrong spaces too, where it was like, come to me and I'll heal you. But it was finally a space where it was like, it is all within you, and these are the ways that we can guide you to that. That was where I began, and it just unfolded along the way, where the more I learned, the more I grew, the more I practiced, the more I became capable. But the biggest learning was, for me, implementing those things into my life. So the more that I could show up in my life was the more that I could then show up in my work. So they have to go hand in hand. I realized that quite quickly. Like, otherwise you're putting on a persona and it is going to be all fake. So it's mostly my own healing, first and foremost. Fast forward where I'm at in my journey with this work is being able to, well, having the privilege and the honor to be able to step into places and spaces where I can bring people home to themselves. And that is powerful to me. The biggest one at the moment for me is to be Māori, to go home to Aotearoa and to work in places where I maybe didn't feel good enough. Well, definitely didn't feel good enough a few years back. Am I Māori enough? Do I know enough karakia? I deeply honour our te ao Māori and how beautiful it is to be a Māori. I also have learnt that it is innately who I am inside. It is not what I know. It just is me. And I realise that now I'm able to step into places respectfully. I know what I know. I don't know what I don't know. But there's not a level that I need to reach of knowing this much stuff to then step into that place. It's more of a intention. What is my intention when I'm going into these places and spaces and I'm offering the work that I know? It was a dream for me to work in marae and to work with our people and to work in Māori programs that are here to offer, not just to Māori, but to anyone and everyone. And I'm now a part of those organisations. And it really is a dream, but the opportunity came and it arose and it grew. I never would have thought that I would be in these places. And my karakia level is pretty low, but my intention is very high. Luckily, I've learned over the years that you can create your karakia in the intention. That's probably my biggest healing, is being so white and having had those experiences in my life where I've didn't fit in and, you know, wasn't this and wasn't that enough, that I've learnt that if I just have to be enough for myself and have that mana and stand strong in that mana and go into places with that mana. And I have been challenged in that and in going home. I would have attracted that so that I could be challenged with that and then learn how to deal with it. And now I'm like, I'm so much better off having had those experiences and gone through that, because I've learnt it matters. It matters how I hold myself. And you can only be rocked to what you're going to allow. And holding your vibration, or, you know, holding your own po and the way that you, yeah, hold yourself vibrationally and in your aura and your ahu is the thing that I'm learning the most now. So thank you so much for having the courage 6 years ago and for how you've been able to show up, and it gives me goosies. Like, why do I goosies now? To be so sovereign and so neutral and so whakanoa, to be able to us with knowing not only the rongoa, not only domi, miri, miri, all these different wānanga that you offer, but offering us a place to step into. It's not in a pedestal way. You never hold yourself, you always hold us all in the same vibration, and it's whether we want to step into it or not. And that is so powerful. And I know that because I've been in so many different places and spaces and being around a lot of different kairahi so far. And having that opportunity for me is that empowerment to be able to step forth is everything. Yeah, so I'm so grateful. And yeah, on behalf of me and Amos and our whānau, thank you for giving me this opportunity to continue to learn and grow and to step into these spaces with you. It's such an honour, like an absolute privilege, to stand alongside you and Afi, our wakas, as much or as little as need be. It feels so natural, and I'm blessed. Mm. Love you.
I just want to take a moment to let all that land. Thank you.
Feels really beautiful to receive your words. I'm so grateful.
And mostly I feel grateful for your fee and seeing me and describing my process to me sometimes so I can learn as well. Being here by my side and appreciate you. One of the things that's sticking in my head to say from that is, because I think it's important, both as a kaiārahi but also as a practitioner, this mahi is really powerful, and hearing that doesn't really land. It's an experience, but people can jump into wanting to pedestal you, and it sucks to be on a pedestal because you're bound to fall. If you're trying to stay up there, it's really wobbly. It's lonely. There's lots that's not great up on a pedestal. So I never, ever want to be up there. That was pinging for me. The other thing was that Māori enough piece. I hadn't really thought this through before until you were talking, but I do feel that the wero or challenge is a part of our culture. And it is freaking hard because some people don't get past the wero bit. Also, I wouldn't be able to hold myself or even speak about this here today if I hadn't had people who did wero me. And often in that Māori enough space, that was present too. I don't feel that anymore. So it's like hard to re-describe how I used to feel. To me, being Māori now is just more of a feeling. It's like who I am. It's not even a questionable thing.
That just pinged me about behind the scenes, because I know that you do a lot to be able to show up. I don't know if a lot is the word, but you've got your own practices on how to show up, and there's a lot of things behind the scenes that people don't know that happens in Wānanga, even like certificates and kai and all these types of things, although you have po and mama bear and people who are willing to support, just some things that you have to do on your own or need to do. So did you want to speak anything on that?
Lately I've gotten way better at it. What I would have even said a year ago would be really different. I think maybe that perfectionist thing. Recently I've just started doing certificates digitally so that people receive them after. They used to get stressed about getting physical ones because there's always someone who's umming and ahhing about if they want to attend or signing up last minute. Or I might have realized once I saw the actual printed copy that I've misspelled a name, or like, there's these little things I didn't want to be dishonoring. So that would sometimes stress me a lot. So not to disregard what Po or support do, but often they are there for the day. They're not always there before. So there is still packing up and making sure everything's ready, thinking about how much kai people need. I love being a wānanga, but sometimes the simple things like telling people what time to arrive or how to unlock the gate, you know, can unravel something. So there's been a few tears over not being able to open the venue or things like that. People need direction when you arrive. There's loads of things happening. Our supports do bring food, which is really, really beautiful. I'm so grateful. But I still have to try and think about what will be there. Get milks and teas and things like that. And just trying to communicate, make sure everyone knows where to get, that they feel secure, answer the questions that come up. I have tried different constellations of how to do that with getting other supports in, but I flow on my own timeline. So that can sometimes add more stress if I have to like ask people to come at a certain time and then I feel pressured to be ready and I don't have as much flexibility. So what I've learned is like have the day before off completely. Then I have a choice. Then I can be really organizational if I am not ready, and I can go and get a massage or whatever if I am ready. So those sorts of things. Make sure everyone's informed. The day before is usually when everyone decides to reach out about the questions they have about the wānanga. So I'm normally answering a lot of messages the day before. Yeah, those are things that are happening too. Just an awareness of different people's needs that they might have. And also to speak to the place where I am at the moment. And we've spoken about that mahi of bringing people up in terms of becoming practitioners, but I feel that I'm in a space of learning how to bring people into being leaders and co-facilitators, however that looks. That's a really interesting space to navigate around
figuring out what the essence of akutoro whānui is and then what the essence of empowerment of an individual is. And those two things can sometimes be differing pieces.
You just pinged me with the grace that you give all of us when we come into wānanga and this practice in general. Going back to the pedestal conversation, sometimes your clients are having an experience where it's like, wow, and then sometimes your clients aren't sure about their experience because they're still processing. And it's that push and pull between keeping the grace of the session and allowing them that they've had that experience and not making it about you and, you know, you gave them this experience. I feel like it's similar to being in wānanga and being able to keep everyone on, not keep everyone on the level, but having everyone, we're all the same. It's the same with the grace thing. It's like we have to be able to give ourselves grace. I always want to be giving you grace for the fact that we are still human and there isn't that perfectionism. Stepping more into the space of afiing and in this space, it's made me realize too, like, wow, I have to give myself grace. Otherwise, you're holding so much and it becomes physically painful. So that, I think the push and pull, those are the two of what I've figured out about the pedestal. Like, it feels good when it feels good. Mm-hmm. It feels shit when it feels shit. And being able to keep yourself whakano or toe or like in your own mana and not take on board the outcomes. So it's like the neutral space of allowing people to have their experience regardless also gives you grace in the times where things weren't perfect. So it does have its, yeah, it has that beautiful piece about it too.
I do feel that being a wānanga and really paying attention to that piece helps us to understand how to be better practitioners in a way, because then we know that one moment isn't definitive. Like, if someone's feeling amazing when they leave a session or when they leave wānanga, they may not the next day. And yeah, it's just this whole weave of like accepting that ebb and flow of all the emotions and realizing what's ours and what isn't and giving ourselves grace. And yeah, I remember certain points of my journey where I felt really, 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 really lonely and didn't know how to narrow that gap because I was holding myself to that perfectionism. So even though there were people who were wanting to connect with me or support me or be around me, I just didn't know how to let them in because I was too scared to be seen in the messiness and in the complexity and how hard it can sometimes be, and the tears and the challenge. Like, I find it, I'm not going to say easy to do, but I actually had this moment last night where I was thinking of one of my first teachers because of some of the experiences that happened in wānanga and this current space. And it's been years since we spoke, and I actually felt like I understood her. At that time, I felt disconnected and not seen on an individual level, but I really had the insight in wānanga about, wow, you're holding so much. You're holding so many people. You're holding so many things. There's so many stories going on. There's so many opportunities to use as jumping off points for teaching. It's not that you don't see people, because you do, but it's sort of what's most relevant for the group. And I don't think I had fully gotten that until yesterday. I have been feeling so much love for that journey and that peace and, yeah, honouring there. And then also this curiosity about where this current evolution of wānanga will go. Even talking about at the beginning about like that receiving one or two po was so freaking challenging, and then in this wānanga we almost had more po than attendees, you know. So I feel very comfortable with receiving now, and I want to receive because it feels beautiful to be able to be nourished while also giving so much, and that back and forth feels good. I hope that I manage to do that for people too, but we also will get it wrong occasionally, or we will get it wrong for a person. There's a lot happening there, but I feel as if now that only really this year as I've felt more supported in my home life, and because I'm supported in my home life, I feel more supported to explore some of those nuances of how wānanga can look different. That's just the space of into the future. Like, I'm curious of what that looks like, where it's not coming so much from me, but from the waka. And then where that waka wants to navigate itself. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know where that's going. I don't know what that will be. But yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah, I love you.
I'm so appreciative of you and being able to co-facilitate was really special.
I just am grateful for what you've allowed and seen in me so that it can grow for our whānau. You know?
Love you, sis. It's been so cool to have wānanga and for me to actually be living there at that time and be able to attend. So it's interesting how things align. Thank you for this conversation today and for sharing your experience running wānanga for us all. And I'm sure this podcast will help so many people who are stepping into this space to understand some of the things that they potentially might go through or how they can grow further in the space. So thank you for your time and love.
Thank you. And do you mind if I put on the end of this the recording that you sent me after our first wānanga when you were by the ocean?
Hi, Gavin. I just wanted to thank you while everything was fresh in my mind. It was our last little mic call today and I feel amazing and so grateful. I feel like an evolved person and I wanted to thank you, your mom, Matupine, and all the wonderful, amazing people that showed up for themselves and for this amazing practice. Bumirumi has helped me over the past year of my life in so many different ways, on so many different levels. And you were the one that gifted me that experience. So that is why I decided to take up the Bumirumi course. And I can't really describe in all words without going on and on, but it just has really helped me to evolve in every area of my life, to understand myself more, to connect more with my culture. It really felt like a huge missing link in my life. The gifts of Umiumi, I feel, has definitely a part of me. Learning this practice has brought me deeper into my knowing and my purpose and how I can better show up for myself and the world and the people that really, really desire and need it much more than I thought it would be. I thought I was coming into this practice and, you know, would really be able to help others the way you've helped me, but it's actually first helped me on a much deeper level, which I'll be sharing the break for. Just thank you so much from the depths of my heart, and I'm really excited to see where this practice takes me, both in my life and those that choose to see me when I practice this work. Lots of love and gratitude. I just feel cool to thank you as a wife from Macy Deco. Te araro o tangaroa, erere ki te papa ururui.